Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. The third main stage production of the Williamstown Theater Festival's 2017 season is A Legendary Romance, written by Timothy Prager and Jeff Morrow, and starring Jeff McCarthy and Laura Lee Geyer. A Legendary Romance is directed by Emmy Award winner and Tony Award nominee Lonnie Price. Price played Charlie in the ill-fated original production of Merrily We Roll Along on Broadway, an experience which he has lately translated into an acclaimed documentary film, which is available to stream on Netflix. He's an award-winning director who helmed the recent Broadway revival of Sunset Boulevard starring Glenn Close. Other directorial credits include Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill starring Audra McDonald, which is running in London this summer, episodes of the television programs Two Broke Girls and Desperate Housewives, and the screen via stage favorites Great Performances and Live from Lincoln Center. He's also a writer and was nominated for a Tony Award in 2001 for the Book of a Class Act. As an actor, he has a number of theatrical credits after Merrily, and several, but two very important, films, The Muppets Take Manhattan and Dirty Dancing. That's not all, but that's enough to list for now. Lonnie Price, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you very much.
So let's discuss first the matter at hand, A Legendary Romance. How long have you known about this show? What made you want to work on it? How do you know Timothy Prager and Jeff Morrow, et cetera, et cetera?
I've been doing some work in London in the last few years with the English National Opera. We did we transferred the Sweeney Todd I had done in New York with Emma Thompson and Bryn Terfel, and then I did Sunset Boulevard, which we then did in New York. And anyway, so the producer of those is a guy named Michael Linnett and Michael Grade, and they introduced me to this new musical by Jeff Morrow and Tim Prager. I just thought it was fascinating because it's about memory and it's about how you negotiate and reconcile your past, which is something that interests me as someone who's 58. There's a lot of past now, so looking back is something that I'm into doing right now. So I just thought it was a very interesting idea, and it deals with the past and the present, and it jumps time frames all the time. And there's film in it. It just has a lot of challenges, and I like a challenge. So I was delighted they asked me to do it. And we did a reading of it in New York about a year ago, and then another small reading for Williamstown a couple months ago. So it's been about a year since it's been in my life.
You have, throughout your career, worked on, as an actor, as a director, as a writer, new shows and revivals, although you haven't written a revival, but you know, you've worked on new shows and revivals. Is the full approach different? Is the job different if it is an established piece versus something that is premiering?
I think it is different when it's a new piece. I'm always reminded of it. I forget just how different it is. But you know, when a writer is alive, or certainly as involved, you know, you're serving them in a different way. Also, you're trying to guide the writing so that there's a unified vision in terms of how you present it. You want to give them their vision, but at the same point, you also have to collaborate once it becomes physicalized and with a set and costumes and lights and actors and all that. So it's just much more collaborative. There's more collaborators. You know, with a revival, I'm collaborating with the actors and my designers and musical director and orchestrator and like that. But then add the two very primary collaborators, which are, in a musical's case, the book writer and the composer lyricist, if that's one person, in this case it is. It's a lot of camps to be the general of in some way.
I think that as an audience member, the individuals in the audience, or if they think about it at all, think that the director is the boss. Mm. Is that true or not exactly true? Like, are the producers the boss, or is there not one?
Well, in each medium, it's different. Television, for instance, the executive producer is the boss. When I go in to direct Two Broke Girls or Desperate Housewives or something, I'm just trying to serve the executive producer because there are 13 or 26 or 10 episodes and they all have to look alike and they're there every week and I've been jobbed in for that week or 10 days or 2 weeks. So it's not the same kind of creativity. You're not allowed the kind of same creativity. In the theater, you know, it depends on who the power is. There's always sort of a power. Oftentimes it's the director, and sometimes if it's a, you know, it needs to be the director. But at the same point, if there's a big star selling tickets, they have a lot of influence. If it's a composer with a great reputation, he has a lot of influence, or she does. But then again, you want to please them. I mean, you're there to serve the piece. But I kind of think of myself as the boss. I kind of think of myself as the boss of that. And I'm challenged on that sometimes. But part of why you get into directing is that you like to control things.
If someone challenges you on that, and I'm not asking you to say when you have been specifically, not going to get gossipy. Yeah. How is it resolved? Is there a blowout or a professional discussion, or sometimes both?
I don't do blowouts. I don't like working in a contentious atmosphere. You know, the great director Jerome Robbins liked people being angry with him, and they didn't like him, and I can't work like that. Also, frankly, very selfishly, if you want to get the best work out of people, be nice to them. If you want them to blossom and give you the best of them, I think encouraging them and not flattering them, but being appreciative of their work and excited by what they do makes them do more and better. I'm not that guy. But it really is a collaboration. And in my view, the older I've gotten, the best idea wins, and it doesn't have to be mine. Sometimes I disagree with the authors, but ultimately it's their piece. And at the end of the day, I will just back down and I'll just say, it's your show. And I'll do what you like. I may not agree with it. And maybe they don't see it today, but maybe they'll see it tomorrow. And you'll say, okay, let me show it to you. And then see if you agree that maybe there's an adjustment that could be made. And most times I think they go, oh, I see what you're saying. And when they don't, they don't. And ultimately, it's their show.
I'm speaking with Lonnie Price, who is directing the new musical, A Legendary Romance, at the Williamstown Theater Festival.
So we spoke with Jeff McCarthy and Jeff Morrow on the show today as well. Jeff performed a couple of songs, and Jeff Morrow talked about writing the show and working with you. And when I asked them to talk about working with you, Jeff McCarthy mentioned that because you are also an actor, that makes you his sort of, he didn't say favorite, but he implied a better kind of director because you know what it's like to be the one up there doing the thing. Yeah. Do you think that is true too? Do you feel that way as you work with actors?
Well, I love actors, and I consider myself an actor in recovery a little bit. I was an actor for really a dozen years, which is not that much as I look back on it. But I love actors, and the best directors that I had, or the directors I enjoyed the most when I was an actor, were former actors. Alan Arkin directed me in something, and it was just a heavenly experience. And I think part of that is you know what they're going through, and I'd like to think that I can help a little bit because I know what they're going through. And I'm very sensitive as to when they need to be left alone. And I'm also from the school, frankly, where I think the writing and the acting is the most important thing. You never walked out of a show and said, that was great, why, at a great light cue. You know, I mean, it's not about the set. And we all can go home. If the actor and the material and the audience are not making a connection, there's nothing. And that's theater is anywhere where an actor makes a connection with an audience. So for me, the most important thing is the acting and the writing. And I enjoy working with all the other elements, but I love working with actors. I always have. And I've had a lot of repeat business with actors. And I think it's because they know that I'm there to help them. I kind of look at actors or stars as sort of like being little gems, and it's my job to set them in a setting where the light refracts off them in the most brilliant way, where everybody can see how great they are. I really think that that's part of my job, is to make them great and or to help them to find where they will be successful in this role. So that's how I kind of work. So I'm, in a way, not surprised that actors like to work with me because I think they're really important and I enjoy them. So we enjoy each other.
So speaking of gems, one of the unquestionably, undisputably most miraculous theater people we have is Ms. Audra McDonald, who you've directed in Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Well, I've directed Audra in probably a dozen things. We've worked together for the last 15 years. And I just left her in London with Lady Day. I mean, she can do anything. there's just no limit to her gifts and her humanity. The reason she did Lady Day was she thought she couldn't. I brought it to her and she said, oh, that's kind of silly. And I said, no, you can do this.
I say I'll move the mountains, and I'll move the mountains if he wants them out of the way. Crazy, he calls me. I'm crazy. Crazy in love, I'd say.
And she will only do things that she feels she may not be able to do. She's absolutely heaven, and watching her is, I don't know, she brings forth a kind of humanity that is just miraculous and beautiful. And she's also, she's incapable of a false moment. She absolutely cannot be false. And she's also a little bit of a challenge in a good way as a director. Because if I'll tell her, here's what I think it's about, and it's not specific enough, she'll keep looking at me until I come up with the goods. And so I always say she makes me a better director. And I just have, it's been a blessing in my life to get to work with her. And I hope we'll do a lot more.
A Legendary Romance involves romance and film and the House Un-American Activities Committee. A lot of big issues in different ways that you have to distill into one evening, one play with music. What are the challenges you're facing in directing this show thus far?
Distilling all those elements into one musical. It's very challenging. It's a very challenging piece, and that's why I'm really glad we're here. You know, it's tricky. It's a very tricky piece. There's a lot of film, which we're going to shoot on the 16th, 17th, and 18th. And it's a lot of technical aspects that are tricky. Yeah, I you know, again, I mean, a little like Audra, wow, that's hard. Let's do that. You know, let's try that. They're all challenging. They would all be challenging in and of themselves. That they're all of them together is triply challenging. And but we have a great cast. It's great to work here. So everybody's just been so kind, and great staff and great team. And so we're fighting the fight.
It's a relatively small cast.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a triumvirate. There's five though, when there are two wonderful people playing smaller roles. But it's really a triangle love story, and it is about the HUAC hearings and. It's about values. It's about standing up for what you believe in. How far does that take you? What is the cost? What do you pay for that in your life? I think every decision has a cost, and you just have to be okay when the cashier hands you the bill and say, yeah, this is what this cost, and not complain too much, because if you go left, you didn't go right. If you go right, you didn't go left, and there's a cost to the loss of both of those things. You just have to be kind of okay to pay it. And again, this man is reconciling decisions he made that cost an awful lot.
I cannot let you leave without praising you on air for the creation, the film, the best worst thing that ever could have happened.
It's been said that life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. 35 years ago, right in this theater, I got everything I had ever wanted. And I never really got over it. It was just a musical. But it was created by the two men I admired more than anyone else.
You have an amazing career. You are a brilliant man. And this doc ruined me in the best way. It's absolutely glorious. It must be more personal to you than I can even fathom, even knowing that I know that it is personal, but you're proud of it.
I'm enormously proud of it. I worked on it for 9 years, and eight of them, it wasn't good. And we've had five editors, and I just kept working on it because it was very personal to me. I feel very naked. We first started showing it, you know, and I was like, this doesn't feel so good. I knew we were going to show it, but, it's got home movies. It's me at 8 years old, But I'm enormously proud of it, and that people like you are so moved by it and it resonates so deeply to people is a surprise to me and a beautiful one. I never thought people would respond in the way they have, and I love that it's forever. You know, in the theater, it's gone on closing night, but there's something lovely that will live on, and I'm thrilled about it.
Especially since, like, the film is about Merrily Didn't.
No, and you know, it's these recordings. You know, thank God we did the cast album. Yes. Otherwise, it never. I mean, it look, it's a Steve show. It would always have gotten done. But I think the cast album was so thrilling. You know, and that score was just so extraordinary that, you know, people kept wanting to do the show. But again, you know, if you don't record it, if you don't film it, it's over. And we've lost so many things that would have been nice to have. And see, the other thing is, you know, I film a lot of my stuff live, and it's important to see. We did Lady Day for HBO, and it's like people need to see why Audra McDonald is great, and why Patti LuPone is great, and why Emma Thompson is great on stage. And you know, it's if you don't, for educational purposes, I mean, so that when young actors are looking at it, they need to look at the best. And I feel very strongly that things need to be captured in forever so that we can educate the next generation of performers, if nothing else.
I'm speaking with Lonnie Price, who is directing the new musical, A Legendary Romance, for the Williamstown Theater Festival. He also directed the recent Broadway revival of Sunset Boulevard, starring Glenn Close.
So Glenn Close played Norma Desmond years ago. Mm. That's the Sunset Boulevard cast recording I grew up with. On like 4 cassettes, I think.
Right.
And then for her to return and play the role again, it must have been just ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it was, I guess, a little ridiculous. The great thing was,
in a good way.
In a good way. I went out with Glenn for lunch because I had not known her, though we had a lot of mutual friends. And I really was excited to do it was, I said, "How married are you to that original interpretation?" And she said, "Oh, not at all. Just start again." And that was very exciting. And, you know, we tried to take some of the, you know, the grand guignol out of it and make it about a middle-aged woman fighting for her life, and took a lot of the turbans off her head and made her just a little bit less, don't want to say caricature, that's not what she was, but she was very highly eccentric. And I think she's eccentric in this production, but not in a way that is... she's not playing a grotesque, and I think that the largeness of that production and all of that encouraged a kind of grandiosity, and we've kind of made it, again, you know, about people's relationships and how they function. So it was a thrill to work with her, and she's enormously skilled and kind, and it was truly a pleasure.
I saw it when I saw it in New York. I was in the balcony and was amazed by how quiet and small some of the moments were, but in that just magic way that only the truly talented can do, they still hit. Like, it was, you know, right in my brain, right in my eyes, even from the balcony.
Yeah, I know. She's extraordinary. And the fit of that role to her... You know, she owns the role. There's just not, you know, you think of Barbara Streisand in Funny Girl, and you think there are certain iconic just roles that just somehow the actor and the role intertwine in a way that is very special. And I think, you know, she is our Norma Desmond. She just is. So I'm not surprised you had that experience. It's amazing. The Palace Theater has 1,700 seats, and you could hear a pin drop, which was sort of thrilling.
What is next for you after Williamstown?
Well, I'm developing a musical with a score by Adam Guan. I don't know if you know Adam's work.
I do.
He's marvelous. And Michael Mitnick, and it's for The Roundabout. And we're going to go out of town. We're doing another workshop this fall, and then we go out of town in the following fall, and then we come in the following season. And there are two or three musicals that I'm having in development. Let's see, and I'm working on a PBS documentary about Hal Prince, which I'm at the beginning of. So when I get back, I've got to do more work on that.
I am so glad that you took the time to speak with me today. I'm very, very thankful and grateful, and thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you for your sweet enthusiasm and kindness. I really appreciate it.
Lonnie Price directs a legendary romance for the Williamstown Theater Festival. The show runs through August 20th. WTFestival.org for more information. That link is posted along with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.